way you understand the plagues is to remember here that the Lord had strategically and systematically, he was humiliating and pummeling the gods of Egypt like a bowling ball running through there. And that means that the plagues were intended for Israel to always look and to understand the power of idolatry and the power of God to shatter it in people's lives, as he did in their lives.
Learning from history so we don't repeat it, right? Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon will return us to the book of Exodus, the 10 plagues, under the mighty hand of God is the title of our message today. We're in chapter 9, looking at 1 through 7. It's the plague of killing off all of their livestock, the significance of this plague and the distinction between them and God's people. Up next, here's Pastor Chris.
This is the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 9 at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die.' And the Lord set a time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. One of the real blessings of studying Exodus and looking at these plagues is that we really are getting a full treatment here of what spiritual bondage is and what slavery looks like in spiritual terms. This is the way the New Testament applies this and wants us to understand this. This has moved me to see how gripped, as we look at this, people are in bondage. Romans 6 explains that for us, of course. It explains, "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves?" No one is truly free in the proper sense of the term. The bondage is so great. The bondage is so gripping over people's lives. Only the power of God can shatter it. And that's what we're learning here. Only the great power of God can shatter it and release us into a life of freedom and a life of true joy. Joy in serving a king who is kind. Joy in serving a God who is for us and not against us. A God who is caring and compassionate, and his loving kindness endures forever to us. We will never believe that about him until we're free. The lie perpetuated by those held in Satan's hand is that God's way is burdensome. God's way is hard. God's way is restricting. God's way is miserable. And there's a whole path out there that's much more freeing than that. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie that's perpetuated. And until the Lord comes and breaks those bolts, until he shatters those chains, you'll never know his love and you'll never believe his gospel. But that's his desire for his people. That you know that love. That you know that freedom. I believe that's really emphasized in the fifth plague here this morning. As we have seen, there's something that's highlighted in each plague, something that's given to us that Moses wanted us to say, okay, that's the point. That's what the Lord wants us to focus on. That's what the Lord wants us to see. And here you notice in this particular plague, in verse 3, we read, "Behold, the hand of the Lord will fall, will come." I want you to think a minute about the imagery provided about God's delivering hand. I'm amazed if you were to go through and do a search on how many times the Psalms used the hand of the Lord to deliver over and over and over and over. the question is really challenging us to see that statement is really challenging us to ask the question this morning about whose hands we are in. Whose hands? The plague is about the powerful hand of the Lord to release us and take us into his arms of freedom. And that is right, at his right hand, as the Psalms say, you could think of Psalm 16, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to consider this morning this plague in light of that statement, the hand of the Lord shall come. In Numbers 33, when Moses wrote down for Israel, for future generations, and he was explaining the deliverance, he said something that was intended for future generations to understand the plagues. When they went back and they read the plagues, how they were to understand the plagues. And he wants you, this is what Moses said, I want you to know, Israel, that also on their gods, the Lord executed judgment. And that tells you that we're supposed to read the plagues as hitting gods, the gods of Egypt. It was right in Scripture. The Lord executed judgments on their gods. The way you understand the plagues is to remember here that the Lord had strategically and systematically, he was humiliating and pummeling the gods of Egypt like a bowling ball running through there. And that means that the plagues were intended for Israel to always look and to understand the power of idolatry and the power of God to shatter it in people's lives, as he did in their lives. That God desired to free them, that God desired to set them free. So the entire message of the Exodus had become very clear for them, and we can use the very language of Colossians 1 for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That really does capture it. That's the larger story. That's the story of Exodus. At last time, he showed them that story in the fourth plague. He gave us the whole gospel model right there in the fourth plague, the whole gospel plan, where in between Goshen and in between Egypt, literally in the space between, he set up a ransom. Right after he had said, the Lord will come down and be in your midst. That was the mission declared in the fourth plague. They needed to be bought back. They needed to be set free. They needed to be released from, as we say in the Heidelberg, the tyranny of the devil. And that the ransom payment anticipated there in the fourth plague all spoke of the cross of Christ. There on the other side of Goshen, which meant drawing near, those people who were in Christ had come near. They had the ability to draw near, as Hebrews tells us. The fourth plague was an anticipation and display of that gospel program, that outside of that ransom, outside of Goshen, people were plagued under the judgment of God. And that's why Revelation 21 picked up on that very imagery of inside, outside. Well, the fifth plague is building now in intensity to accomplish this and show us this developing. In the fifth plague, we come into Pharaoh's house. That's the second cycle, second plague. Remember, first cycle is out by the river, first plague in each cycle, three cycles, then the tenth. First plague's by the river, second plague's in the house, third plague is an unannounced blow. And as we come back into Pharaoh's house this morning, we pick up in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus is the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, may worship me. Relentless, isn't he? Over and over, let him go. I thought about how much we fail the Lord, never giving much back to him, and the thought that fills our minds that he must say in the midst of our departures, I'm done. I'm turning my back. The reality is that as we look at this morning, he just keeps coming back, demanding release and explaining for us the importance of delivering us, showing us how deep the bondage is and the warfare that you are in. You don't think about that enough. You don't think about the warfare enough. We don't think about who is what is the nature of our enemy, and we don't think a lot about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how much they assault, and what's really going on behind the scenes. If we could only see, if we only knew, that's what Exodus is helping us with. And then we think about God when we depart, that he becomes the enemy against us. If he's become the enemy against us, we have no hope in the world. We're done. He doesn't say, I'm tired of these people. He doesn't say, I give up on these people. He doesn't say, I'm done. They don't love me very much. I'm going to show you in a minute how much that means in light of what Israel would do. He steps forward back to Pharaoh's house. And the visual is of Christ coming and saying openly when he got here on the scene of history, I have come. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm not losing one. I've come that they may have life. I've come to set them free. I've come that they may know the truth and the truth may set them free. Let them go. Again. Over and over and over, he says it. Let him go. Let Kalin go. You must believe that's his intention. You must believe it's his intention for you. Every time you run to sin and are tempted to discouragement to go elsewhere for an answer, that's his goal. Let them go. I'm bringing him home. God be thanked. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free, you became slaves of righteousness. That's beautifully captured of God's releasing power in verse 2. If you refuse to let them go, and notice the inclusion there that we haven't seen so far, and still hold them. If you still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague on your livestock and all that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. If you still refuse and you still hold them. Now, that is imagery that's already been given to us in Exodus back in chapter 3. This was one of the things that the Lord said to Moses about the reason he had come down to get them. Listen to this. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because they're taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of a land to good, a good and broad land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you catch it? Their hand is around my people and their necks. That's the imagery. Now think about that for a moment. What does that mean to us? Well, a guy in prison might understand that. A guy in prison might understand that. I remember visiting years ago Alcatraz, and I went into that black isolation chamber and they turned off the lights. And I didn't last really 5 minutes in there. I was ready to get out. I cannot imagine being confined into that. And I actually started panicking. 5 minutes. I think it's the ninth plague. They say the darkness that they're going to have on the land of Egypt was felt. I felt it. You know, that's how people live. The imagery here that we have is Satan is holding these people in solitary confinement. Satan has his hands around their necks. That's the imagery. He's got a key to the jail door, and they can't get out. They're totally bound up. That's what sin is like. It's like giant hands around our hearts. And the devil stands there with giant hands around people's lives who think they're free. That's the craziness of it all. Who think they're free. I fully understand why people say today, well, I was born with this behavior. I was born as a homosexual, as we hear today. I don't have any other choice. That grips my life. I understand that. Bruce Jenner has giant hands around his heart. Bruce Jenner's own heart is against him, and he can't see any differently. He's bolted. He's in the chamber. Addiction is like that. They're giant hands around lives, holding down, keeping people, thinking that they're free, which is the madness of it all. But it doesn't achieve happiness. If you don't stop holding my people, my hand's coming. You feel that? It was a known proverb, and I mean this, it was a known proverb in Egypt that when Pharaoh raised his strong hand, his power was being put on display. In fact, 2 Kings tells us that Israel was under the hand of Pharaoh. Under his hand. Everyone knew throughout Egypt, Pharaoh's hand held Egypt. Can you imagine? Before Pharaoh, Moses comes in and he stands in the palace and there's the hand of Pharaoh and the Lord says, if you don't take your hands off my people, my hand's falling on you. You got to feel that. If you don't take your hands off their necks, you're going to meet God's hand. And then this emphatic word is given in the Hebrew right in front of it, and it wants to make the case. Watch out, buddy. Behold, the hand is falling on your cattle, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on your oxen, and your sheep. A very severe pestilence of the highest degree. Thus says the Lord, my hand will be on you. To which all of us should stop and say this morning, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? He could have left you there. He could have left you in the darkness of your misery that you chose. If I can give you the imagery of the hand, remember, these are all building. It started with the finger of God. The finger of God is against you, and now the hand's coming against you, and by the time it's done, he will redeem them with an outstretched arm. He's going to pull them all in. I mean, that's the imagery of God's power coming upon Egypt and pulling them out. Deuteronomy, when they started thinking about all that God had done for them, Moses wanted to make sure it was put down in Scripture for all the generations to read. And this is what we get in Deuteronomy 4. Has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm? And by great deeds of terror, all which the Lord your God did for you before the eyes of the Egyptians, before your eye. I've often said, if we only knew and could only see right now, when Elijah's servant was scared, and Elijah said, open his eyes. And then his eyes were opened and all around him was the mountain, the glory mountain. And there were chariots of horses all around, God's horses, all around the chariots of fire, all around his people, surrounding them from the enemy. If you could only see that right now, if only your eyes could be opened right now and you could see what's surrounding you. You know what Moses sings at Exodus 15? He sings this. Right after the Red Sea, right after Egyptians are pummeled and drowned and dropped into the Red Sea, Exodus 15, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Now you're ready to sing those imprecatory psalms, aren't you? There's a greater story to them, isn't there? There's a greater story to the spiritual reality all around us that we don't pay any attention to or think very seriously about. Think of it. Hands were around your children. Hands were around you and your children, and he put his hands on them. What imagery. The right hand of curse fell on them. I'm striking your cattle. If I could give some kind of imagery, it would be like this. Here's Goshen. All of God's people are shielded in Goshen. And he now stands right in the middle as Pharaoh's trying to reach over and grab them. He puts his hand on all of them. And here's what you get. Here's what you get. I will strike your cattle. Why cattle? Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, because you've put your hands on my sheep, cursed are you above all cattle. Interesting that the first thing he associated, the first animal associated with the curse, was cattle. That Satan's more cursed. Are you seeing the spiritual dialogue going on behind this here? The Egyptian gods and goddesses were most characterized as cattle.
Well, somewhat of a cliffhanger we're leaving you with today. There is much more, and we'll pick up right where we left off tomorrow. Pastor Chris will be back. Stick around. You are listening to Pastor Chris Gordon with Abounding Grace. Our time together today in Exodus, focusing in on the 10 plagues. If you'd like to review any of today's message or the entire series, we would invite you to reach out to us at our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us at Abounding Grace, Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. As we close out our time today here on Abounding Grace, I'd like to remind you that this is a listener-supported ministry. As you come alongside and partner with us financially, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station and on the World Wide Web. Now, as a way of saying thank you for your support financially, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you a thumb drive that contains all of the messages from a recently delivered series called How to Pray. If you've ever struggled in your prayer life, if you've ever longed for a deeper prayer life, this series is right up your alley. Again, recently delivered by Pastor Chris, dives into the how of prayer, who we pray to, and encouragement along the way to continue and press into a deeper prayer life. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send you this thumb drive that contains all of the MP3 sermons as taught by Pastor Chris. You're welcome to reach out to us again on our website, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Well, as promised, once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast and what we've been learning today as well.
The same word to describe Pharaoh's heart, the Lord chooses to say, I'm hitting him with a heavy plague. Every Israelite would have caught that. Meaning, the problem ultimately that people need to have dealt with is that something's wrong with the heart. It's heavy before the one who controls the heart. God is putting on display the human heart, giving these heavy plagues to show how hard hearts are in heaviness to him. Why did Israel need to learn this? Why do we need to understand this? Not only are we held in a prison under Satan's domain with hands around our necks and hearts, but the Lord wanted us to understand something. The very same heart that filled Pharaoh fills us.
Something the Israelites needed to learn, and you and I as well. We'll do so more tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.